Welcome back, guys. This is episode 3. Today we have a very good show. We're going to see the testimony of Pablo and my co-host that's going to be talking today. And yeah, so let's get started. To see your guys' testimonies and get to know you guys a little bit better, so that way our listeners and our watchers can see what we your story. So the first question will be, share your journey. What led you to go away from the church initially, and just give me as much details as you can. I mean, just I really wanted to get to know your story and be able to know what was the moment, the decisive moment where you decided, you know what, church is not for me anymore.
You want to start? You want me to start?
It's up to you.
You can start.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I wouldn't say that there's like a defining moment for you to get away from church. I think that, I think one of the major themes of why I left the church was basically, sometimes as Christians or Adventists, we give a bad testimony of what it is to be a Christian. And sometimes our experiences with other Christians push us away from the church. And that's how maybe for me it started. But I don't think it, like, you know, you don't get far away from the church like in an instant. It's more of a process where you slowly lose interest. You slowly start trying worldly things. And the more you basically are part of the world, the further away you get from the church, until you are no longer part of the church or have no interest in the church, because you basically are part of the world, and whatever life you had within the church is no longer there. At least, I think that was my perspective, at least. So it was basically like a snowballing effect where I tried more things, and then eventually I pretty much had no interest, and I still believe in God. I never stopped believing in God, but it was more of like, I didn't care about God. So more like an agnostic feeling rather than atheist.
Mine was definitely part of what Pablo said, is trying like the world stuff, you know? Especially the drinking and smoking for me was a big thing. To be honest, growing up, like, I never really had that one-on-one relationship with God. So as soon as I hit high school, I literally would just go to parties, get drunk, or get high, and then the next day I would have to wake up for church. So, because obviously I was, you know, hanging out with, like, all the football kids, so Friday nights were the games. We would go party afterwards, and then after that, I would have to wake up and go to church. And, like, I remember going to church one day, super hungover, like my breath smelled like booze and stuff like that, and like my mom's like, all right, like you can't do this, like it's either like you're just gonna stop coming to church, or like you're not, like you're just gonna give up this worldly, like this life that you're doing. And I just decided, hey, I'm not gonna go to church anymore.
Well, I mean, I think that's interesting, yeah, to see both of those experiences, because I mean, I can tell you from my experience, I never really left the church. But I like I mentioned in the previous podcast too, I was really lukewarm, which I think in the end is even worse than being hot or cold.
Right.
Because that's exactly what God tells us, is it's either be hot or cold, but being lukewarm, it's even worse. But what was like that? Do you remember like that last thing that you experienced in church that is like, okay, this is my last day in church? Or what, that never happened, or what was going through you guys' head when you made that decision? Like that's to me something that it's hard for me to grasp the idea of that, because I've never experienced leaving the church completely. So I think that would be helpful for maybe some of our listeners that are going through that.
to be honest, like, I never had, like, that last Bowman experience. And I was just looking for an out. Like, I had been looking for an out for a while. Like I said, I've never had that relationship with God. So when I heard, like, you know, my parents say, like, hey, like, you don't have to go to church. Like, that's your decision. I was like, okay, I'm not going to go.
Yeah, so, for me, it was a little bit different because I feel like I never physically left the church. It was just more mentally I wasn't there. One of the reasons why I was still attending church was because my mom was annoying me. She's like, I'm like 30 and she's still like calling me every Saturday, like, why are you not at church? And I'm like, you gotta follow the path of least resistance, which is just, I'll go to church just to shut her up.
Yeah.
But mentally I wasn't there. I wasn't paying attention. I was either sleeping or I was like on my phone, not caring about like what message was playing in on the Sabbath. But I feel like I definitely was more interested in worldly things, would rather drinking or getting tattoos, because I've definitely, for at least for me, was I was always finding a new way to self-medicate, because I feel like now that I'm experiencing my Christianity, which is something that we could talk about in a little bit further and down the road, I feel like I finally have that peace that I was searching for. But I definitely, when I wasn't mentally in the church, I was constantly chasing a new addiction to, like, take away the stress, take away the feeling of being alone. Whether it was drinking, which, like, basically turned off my brain. I no longer had to, like, have these bad thoughts in my head. Or whether it was getting tattooed, it was just, like, you constantly feel pain for 8 hours. And for 8 hours, I literally had no thoughts in my head, which was what I was looking for. And that's literally like I was just mentally, you know, finding distractions from the hardships of life rather than, you know, pursuing a relationship with God.
What was that decisive moment? What was the thing that prompted you to come back to church? What was that thing that made you decide to come to church? And I hope that you guys came back because you wanted to make this your God. Like, see, you were truly in church engaged. What made you become engaged? What made you, what prompted you to come back? And what made you say, you know what, I've tried it all and there's nothing out there, and then church might be the best option? Or what was the thing that made you want to come back?
You want to start? You want me to start?
You can start. I'll go after you.
Okay, so I had dealt with super bad anxiety for almost like 2.5-3 years, where it led to a point where I had an eating disorder, and I was really bad for months and months and months, and it came to a point where I was going to the ER like maybe like at least twice a week. So I was losing a lot of weight, and obviously it was concerning to like not only me but like my family and like my friends around me. But I was still drinking, like I was still smoking, and like I was doing all this stuff on an empty stomach. And like, obviously, like, you've never drank, probably. But you're never supposed to drink on an empty stomach. Like, that's like, obviously, like, that's like the number one rule for you not to do. So I would get intoxicated. Like, when I'm telling you, like, intoxicate, like, I would drink to like get blackout. Like, and it came to a point where it was actually here in Worcester. I was leaving Assumption one night and I was completely blacked out, and I totaled my car, and I could have seriously not only hurt myself but hurt someone else. Thank God I didn't crash anyone. Like, I hit like a railing, so obviously, like, but thank God I didn't hit anyone else or harm anyone else. And I think that was kind of like the lowest point of my life, and I just like looked around my surroundings and was like, do I really want this for the rest of my life? And it took a lot of reflecting. You know, obviously I had to cut ties with some friends. I mean, granted, like, I still love them to death, I still see them now, but I had to, you know, hey, like, I can't do this anymore. Like, hey, like, I have to make some changes in my life. And honestly, after that, like, I remember one time I was in the ER with my mom, and she was like, when's the last time you prayed? Like, when's the last time you actually prayed? And I was like, I can't tell you, like, it's been, like, a while. And she was like, well, everyone at church has been praying for you, like, just know that, like, people are praying for you. So I tried one night. I was like, I'm just gonna do it, like, I'm just gonna pray. And after that, I would get, like, feet, like, on my For You page, like, I would get, like, this one ministry, they're called Jaywalkers. I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but they're content creators. And I would just get, like, their content on, like, my For You page. So I was like, this is so random, like, people are praying for me, and, like, I'm now getting this Christian content on my phone. Like, let me just check them out. So I started to listen to their content, and they created a song called Silence. And I, for some reason, like, I was always drawn to this song where, like, at every point where I felt, like anxious, like, I would listen to the song. And I would just, like, listen on repeat, and I was like, hey, like, maybe, like, this does help. Let's actually give this a chance. So I remember our old pastor, Pastor Agudelo, he came to my house one day, and I was still really bad. He was like, let's change this life of yours. Like, let's pray for you, and, you know, let's start a new beginning. And after that, like, I just started clinging on to God, and thank God, almost 2 years sober, and my relationship with God has never been better.
Dude, I think that's it's a crazy story.
Yeah.
And one of the things, when I remember the first time you told me this story, because we started to hang out a little bit, and we went, and then you started to tell me about it, is just the simple fact that, dude, you totaled your car.
Yeah.
And that's not something that you have to take very lightly, because literally you could have been injured. You could have not only been injured, but you could have hurt somebody, and you could have ruined your life going to prison. But I think that's when you see the mercy of God giving you a second chance.
For sure.
And I think that that's the beauty of your testimony. It's understanding that God loved you and had so much mercy and called you that one last time. And it's funny how you're talking about that song, that you were listening to it, because it's something that that's exactly what we see in the Bible. It's understanding that God tells us that we can find him not in the loud noises or in the screams of the world, because literally we're filled in a world that's filled with so much noise. And it's, I think that's part of what Paulo was talking about. He was trying to escape the screaming that he felt inside of all this crazy stuff that happens in the world. But in silence, in the whispers, that's when you find God. And it's those gentle little moments where you see the mercy of God, and you having this opportunity, this second chance, I think that that's, like, beautiful.
Right.
It's, like, really a beautiful experience. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, well, first of all, I'm very happy that you made your way back to God. And secondly, I'm very glad that nothing happened.
For sure.
And I really, and I always tell you this, like, you can count on us. That's the whole purpose of Bound and the church and this whole group that we have.
Right.
And that goes for my brother as well. And for AJ, who's back in there, you can't see him, but he's here helping us out. And for anybody else that's listening, it's like you have this outlet for you to either plug in or just disconnect, so that you can try to find that connection with God,
sure.
that silence
that
you have.
I mean, I think for me, I never had like a big moment where it was like a fatal moment where it was like you see the consequences of your actions. And I think that's kind of even harder because like I'm 32 right now, and like I never had that big moment where it's like, oh, something happened where my health was in jeopardy, or I almost killed someone with my car. Like, I wish I had that moment sooner so I could, you know, wake up. But for me, it was more of like I had this vicious cycle of like being self-destructive, where I don't think I could ever be suicidal, but I think my flaw is that I literally would just have so many vices where I was just slowly killing myself. And I think something that happens when you are constantly under the influence or either alcohol or drugs. It's just that you become a very, very selfish person. And I think one of the moments that I could remember is when I was talking to an addiction clinic. And like, this was before I even like tried to turn my life around. This was like maybe 3-4 years ago. And like the guy was just talking to me and he was trying to convince me to go to rehab, because I never considered rehab, because I'm like, I'm a functioning alcoholic.
Right. You have like, a problem, not
yeah, it's that you're in denial and you're like, I'm functioning, I go to work, I get my stuff done, I pay my bills, mm-hmm. It's fine, like it doesn't matter. But something that I remember talking to this professional that helps addicts, it's just, he was like, dude, I'm an addict, I know how we are. We just think about the next moment we're going to drink, the next moment we're going to get high. We don't care about anyone else. And you're always constantly pursuing the flesh, your fleshly pleasures. And that's something that I constantly did. And, I mean, I look back at that 4 years. I didn't really stop trying. Well, I didn't really start trying to change my life maybe until like a year ago or so. But I had moments where, like, you know, it's just cycles where you just, like, have moments of clarity. And then you go back at it and you get completely lost and you stop caring about everyone else. And you're just selfish. But I feel like, that's the thing, I'm getting older. And I just realized that, yo, like, I'm literally going through this vicious cycle. So it's just trying to get closer to God and then just doing a 180 and going even harder. And chasing different vices, and I kind of just had enough like about a year ago, and I'm like, I need to change something, because I'm literally just self-destructing. I'm not trying to kill myself like suicide wise but I'm literally just like killing my body, killing my mind, and I'm not really being productive. And I think something that I think that helped me break the cycle was basically starting to participate in church. And you basically start to interact with young people and you interact with elders, and you kind of realize that through helping others, you stop being so selfish, because it's not all about you. It's all what do I want? What am I chasing? Why do I feel sad? You kind of just start working for God. You start just trying to help others, and it kind of makes you feel good, because you're, for once, I stopped thinking about myself, and I kind of started thinking about others. And by helping others, I literally was helping myself. Because I think one of the things that I'm grateful for, your mom actually asked me to start teaching the youth class. And I'm like, I haven't read my Bible in like, let's be serious. I never read my Bible, because you grow up in the church, you don't read the Bible. Your parents tell you a story, you think it's a fairy tale. You're like, yeah, whatever. You don't pay attention to it. Mm-hmm. And then, like, literally, like, about a year ago, your mom started, she asked me if I wanted to teach the teenagers class, and I'm like, this is a commitment. I don't want to commit to going to church every Saturday. This is going to be annoying. I have to wake up early. I have to prepare. And, like, the first few times, I'm like, I don't know how to deal with these kids. I hate kids. And I'm like, and then you gradually just get into it, and like I started like studying the lesson with them, and like funny enough, I started to realize that like these fairy tales are not fairy tales; they're just like tales of humans
that are flawed.
And I think, interesting enough, like one of the things that helped me is the book of Ecclesiastes, which is when Solomon was just going through, you know, the vicious cycle of, you know, being the wisest man, separating himself and becoming a fool because he was just chasing everything from the flesh. I mean, I don't think I'm a king or someone of high stature like Solomon, but I think something that I love about that book and his story is just that, like, the whole concept of redemption, like, no matter what you do, God wants you back. And I feel like what helped me was basically help working with others, interacting with church. And it's a process, and I mean, I didn't stop like instantly, and I mean, hopefully I'm in the good step to recovery, but I feel like I also realized I have to be a little bit kind with myself and just realize that it's okay to fall as long as you get up and keep going.
Yeah, and I wanted just to touch a little bit on the where you're talking about the Bible stories, because I had a, even though I've never really left the church, I never really profoundly studied the stories. And once I started doing that, and it happened the same thing as you, where it's I started giving Bible studies, especially to two kids from our church, and that's when I started to realize, dude, these stories like really have a deep and really powerful message for us, and if we just take a little bit of time to really read them and get to know what the stories are telling us. Like, for example, I never knew how flawed David was. And I think he's one of my favorite Bible characters. Like, dude, this dude was so flawed, but he had one good thing going for himself, which is he loved God more than he loved anything else. And in the end, that's what paid off and is going to be the thing that gave him the saving grace. Because he did so much dumb, stupid things. But at the end of his life, what does the Bible say? He says that God told, he writes and says, David is out to my own heart. Meaning he loved David. He's like, David is perfect, even if he's imperfect. And I think that's the message that we need to learn. Even if you're struggling to something and you don't, and maybe you're far from God, he's always calling us. And we can have that.
I think one thing that I want to add is, talking about David, I think one of the things that also I resonates with me about the story of David is basically, if you go through some of the books that he wrote in Psalms, you kind of see the raw emotion that he has. And sometimes, as young people or as adults, we have to realize that some of the things that we feel are valid and we can tell God, because there's books in Psalms where David's literally saying, like, oh, I want to murder this person because they pissed me off. And I'm like, and at first I was like, this is weird. Why is the Bible, like, why is he confessing that he wants to murder this person? And then you kind of see him, like, you know, in, like, very bipolar moments where, like, no matter how high or low he was, he always talked to God. And I'm like, oh, that's, like, something that you should apply to yourself, where I'm like, it doesn't matter where you are, just talk to God. And talk to him like a friend. Like, it's okay if you're angry. It's okay if you're sad. It's okay if you're happy. Share those emotions with God. Because, I mean, that's how, at least I felt like I was, you know, letting things go. Because whatever I was feeling, high or low, just talk to God about it. And
exactly.
Read the Bible. Because, and don't, for me, it was like, don't treat it as a fairy tale or a book of just, like, random things. Go to the Bible with an open heart, erase whatever you have in your head, and just see what the Bible has to teach you. But sometimes we go to the Bible with already, like, ideas and thoughts of, like, what we believe. And guess what? You're not going to learn anything. Because you're already going in there with something in your head, and you're just going to further, like, you know, justify your actions. But if you go to the Bible with, like, an open heart, empty head, let it speak to you, and that way you can apply a lot of the things in there to how to become a better person, a better Christian, a real Christian, a true Christian.
Yeah. Yeah, and that leads us to the next question, which is, what are your challenges? Like, what are some doubts or some of those struggles that you experienced at the beginning, or maybe you're still experiencing? What are some of those things? And I mean, connected to what you were talking about, David, I think that's the perfect starting point. But I don't know. What do you guys think? What was some of the challenges you faced coming back? And what are some of the challenges you're facing now still?
I think for me, at least, the biggest challenge that I had was basically what I already started talking about. That's basically, sometimes when you go to church or you see religious people, they get a bad name because they portray God and religion in a negative manner. And sometimes, at times, like, even when I started going to church, I'm like, I believe in God, I love God, but I hate religion. I don't want to call myself a Christian, because Christians do terrible things and they justify their actions by the Bible. And I'm like, I've been marginalized, I've been treated bad, and therefore I don't want to treat people like that, and I don't want people to see me as a Christian that's going to treat people poorly and be a hypocrite or, you know, mistreat people and use religion to justify it. And that's something that, like, I struggled for a while until maybe, like, a couple months ago, where I realized that I shouldn't worry about what others are doing. And instead, if you want to change things in church, want to change things in society, be that change and participate. Because it's easy for you to complain and say, oh, Christians are crappy, Christians are... they think the old ways. Well, what are you doing about it? It's easy to complain, but if you, something really bothers you, become part of the church and change that yourself and be the change that you want to see. Participate, learn how to deal with others, and try to be positive. Be that positive and be that difference that nobody else is trying to be. And you'd be surprised, like, how by just, like, being positive and putting in the effort, people are going to realize. They're like, oh, maybe this person is doing something right. And don't get me wrong, I'm still going to do bad things. I'm still going to fail at times. But by trying every single day to get closer to God, I feel like I'm trying to be more positive. And gradually, wherever I am a few years from now, I hope I'm more positive and more of a good influence on others and be the change that I want to see wherever I go.
I think my biggest challenge was what the outside world would think. Like, you know, friends, you know, even some family, not all my family goes to church. So, like, thinking, like, what are they going to think? You know, I'm back in church, like, what are they going to think? You know, that was a big challenge that I had, was like letting the outside world influence me. You know, thinking, oh, like more people are gonna judge me. You know, because I'm going back to church, and even like some brothers and sisters from like our church, like I went back into the church thinking, like, am I good enough to be here? You know, everyone like pretty much already knew, like, not the whole extent of like what happened to me, but like a lot of people knew what I was going through, and like I always had like this small thought in my head, like, hey, like, are they judging me because I'm here now? Like, so like those are definitely two of the challenges that I had like coming into the church. But I feel like now, like, the enemy is always gonna attack you, like, regardless of like how close you are with God, like, he's gonna attack you even more. So, like, I think my biggest challenge right now is being consistent with, like, my everyday relationship with God, you know, like, regardless if, like, I'm not able to, like, take time to, like, read the word, at least, like, read my lesson, or, like, at least, like, listen to a podcast, or, like, at least, like, if I'm on my way to school, like, I'll put something on, like, you know, I think that's kind of been my biggest challenge, especially because I'm back at school, you know, trying to find time for God. So.
And I think you touched upon something really important, and I just want to, like, highlight it. And that's that your daily devotion is extremely important.
Right.
And just like Pablo said, he about reading the Bible, and even if you don't have the time, make time.
Mm-hmm.
I always talk about how what you find important to yourself, you're going to make time for it.
Right.
So if it's a priority in your life, it doesn't matter. For example, if you make time to watch TikTok, and again, I'm the first offender. Like, TikTok is a rabbit hole, and you can get sucked in for hours. But if that's important, you're going to make time for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that connection that you have, your daily devotion, is going to give you the strength. It's the nutrients you need. And it's the same thing that it's like, you can't just say, I'm not going to eat, and then I'm just going to wait until the weekend to eat. Like, you're going to be really malnourished.
Yeah.
Like, you need to make that time.
Mm-hmm.
And mentioning, too, what you're talking about, I think that's something that we need to be the difference, just like Pablo said. Make sure that if you have somebody coming in, make them feel welcome.
Right.
Because you guys need to understand that God knocks at our door, and his arms are wide open, just waiting for you to come back. And you don't need to feel guilty. That's literally what Satan does. It's literally, like, looking at you and saying, look, Gabe, I know what you did. I know all those times you got drunk. I know all those times that you did all these stuff. Like, he'll start listing all the bad things you've done and reminding you, like sending you tiny little reminders of this is what you did. Remember what you did 1 year ago? Remember what you did this date? Like, you start remembering all these bad things. But that's the moment where if you have the daily devotion with God, he's literally going to be there to shield you and say, you know what? Forget about those things.
Right.
And then that's when you have those moments. Like, take those moments as a perfect opportunity to be able to give strength to yourself. And you'll see that you're going to end up being the strength for maybe somebody else.
Yeah.
Who's trying to go through what you're going through.
Well, the thing that I saw, I was with my friends like a couple weeks ago, and they're like drinking and stuff like that. And they're obviously like, I was there, and they're like, oh, like, obviously, like, Gabe doesn't drink anymore. And they're like, oh, like, we're all sinners. And I was like, yeah, we all are sinners, like, even myself included. So it's like, kind of like acknowledging that, like, regardless of like what you do, like, you're not different from me. I'm not different from you. Like, we all sin. And that's kind of like one thing that that's why the stuff from like hearing it from other people in church, I'm like, I'm not really going to let that get to me too much, because I know that regardless, like, they're not perfect either. So that was one thing that, you know, it definitely affected me for like a little bit, especially saying that I grew up at that church. But I definitely didn't hold on to it for a long time.
And I think something that I would like to add on to what you just said is basically, if you're having an issue with the community you have, sometimes it's better for you to leave that church, leave that community, and search a different community that is right for you and is positive for you. Because sometimes we go to the same church or the same friends, and they might not be the right fit for you anymore. And you kind of have to find, where are you comfortable? Where are you growing? Do you feel like home? Because honestly, like, when I started going back to church, I was uncomfortable. I didn't want to talk to anyone. I was quiet, and I was trying to grow spiritually on my own. But as time went by, I finally found like my group of youth, my group of church, the people that I work with at church that I was comfortable with. And sometimes you just have to, you have to separate yourself from toxic people that maybe are not allowing you to grow, because you can try to change others, but if it's not working, you know, think about your personal growth and your personal sanity, your personal health first, and be like, I need to extract myself from that and find a community that's gonna help me continue my growth.
And I mean, that's the perfect segue to the next question, which is, how does your faith impact your daily life now compared to back then?
Well, like I said before, obviously when I was giving my testimony, I never had that one-on-one relationship with God. You know, we say it all the time, but, you know, it was my parents' God, you know, and it wasn't my God. And he didn't really become my God until, like, I actually, like, sat down and studied the Word. And, you know, obviously Sabbath school and stuff like that, and he's actually starting to become my God and not my parents' God. So I think it definitely has changed my life compared to like how I was as a teen. Like, I would never, I'm not gonna lie, I would never read my Bible. Like Pablo talked about before, like, I would never, like, you would never catch me like studying my Bible for half an hour. Like, I would literally wait until Friday night. I'm talking about like at like 10 p.m. to like read my lesson for the next day.
At least you read your lesson. Like, read my lesson.
And like the only reason why I would is because like my mom would be like, all right, time to read your lessons. Like, give me your phone for like maybe like 10 minutes, like, read your lesson, and like I'll give it back. And like, I would literally never like study, like never do any of this. I literally went to church for, like, a social, like, it was a social thing. You know, like, God, I still love them. I still have friends that, like, I grew up with, like, at the church, and, like, you know, I went to go see them.
Yeah.
So, like, obviously, like, my relationship with God has, it's turned, like, 180, because, like, I actually, like, spend quality time with him every single day now, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree with you, because I feel like once you personally seeking God every day, he starts to become your God, because that resonates with me as well, where when you grow up in the church, it's more of a social club where you make your friends, and just because they're church friends doesn't mean that you're doing good things together.
Right.
Not to judge my friends, because to this day, I love my friends. I would do whatever they need I'm there. But, I mean, I feel like you start going to church, you start getting to closer to God for personal reasons, where you start spending that time with God and you start having that peace that you seek through other means. Like I said, I self-medicated with so many different things. And instead, I started just putting whatever I was worried about or whatever was bothering me, I put it in God's hands, and I started having that peace. And I think you have to do it day in, day out. Try to start and finish with God, because that consistency is what keeps you connected with Him. Because there's days that, guess what? There's maybe days that, like maybe 3 days in a row, I decide to go rogue, stop reading my Bible, I stop talking to church people, and then I catch myself doing things and I'm like, why am I doing this again?
Right.
And I'm like, focus,
mm-hmm.
Get back. And it's like, you need to constantly seek a connection with God, just so you don't disconnect yourself to where you used to be. And it's, I mean, I think it's worth it. I'm not saying being a Christian is easy, because definitely there's a lot of temptations out there, especially I feel like I'm 32 and I did a lot of things for like maybe like 10, 20 years. And breaking those bad habits, it's challenging. It's not a walk in the park. There's times where I'm just like, instead of doing all this work, I can just, you know, sit down, get a tattoo, forget about life for 8 hours, go get a bottle of alcohol, drink it all, because I too would love to black out, because guess what? That's when my brain would shut off.
Sure. For sure.
But instead, I mean, those things are very temporary as well. And then the next day, you just wake up like, why did I do that? And you feel emptier. And I think that's something that the reason why I keep coming back to God, even if I fail maybe one day out of the week, I'm failing less often. So what keeps me coming back is that, like, doing things for God, helping others, getting closer to Him, doesn't make me feel crappy at the end of the day. I feel at peace. I lay in my bed, and I know that I tried my best, and hopefully I didn't hurt anyone. I wasn't a bad influence on anyone. I didn't negatively impact someone, and at least I have that peace within, because I have that connection with God, and I'm working on myself to be a better person.
I think you said a really important thing too, is I feel like a lot of people think that Christian, like, the Christian life is easy.
The hardest, I think.
I think it's the hardest, because obviously, like, think about how much Satan is attacking you daily. Daily. Where, like, I feel like when you're outside and you're not being a Christian, you're kind of ignoring that. Like, you're just living your life and stuff like that. But, like, especially, like, my age, I'm constantly getting attacked by temptation. Regardless of what it is, if it's, like, you know, me being out with friends who drink, me being out with friends who smoke, like, you know, like, sex, you know, all these stuff, like, it's in front of me daily. So, like, it's definitely not as easy as some people think it is. So I'll say that.
And it never stops.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's never easy.
Never.
The older you get, the, like, more used to get to bad habits, and you're like, damn. But, perfect example, you have these bad habits that are so hard to let go. And sometimes they're just so stuck in your head, and you try to break that cycle. And like I said, you have to have that connection with God every single day to try to break those cycles, because you're going to get attacked even more now. Like, the harder you work in church, the more temptations you're going to get.
Right. for sure.
Which is something that I'm seeing myself now, where I'm like, and like, the fact that you can hang out with your friends, that's, that speaks about the great strength that you have. Mm-hmm. I'm proud of you for that. Because I, myself, I have to extract myself completely because I'm weak. Like, I will fail if I am in those bad environments. That's something that I had to realize for myself. You have to, like, be honest with yourself and, like, what am I okay with doing and what am I, why do I have to extract completely out of my life? Because there's people that are stronger than others, and there's some, like me, that are very weak, where I'm like, I don't want to partake in anything that's going to just be, like, you know, the little push that I need to fall back down. Because for me, it's like, I've been doing this for too long, and it takes the smallest thing for me to fail. So let me just completely remove myself from situations. And that's something that I'm trying to do now by just doing positive things, whether it's like do Bible studies with the youth, participate with Pathfinders, participate with socials, like do something positive and always stay busy. So I'm like, I don't have the time to go do dumb things that I love doing.
And I think the Christian life is part of understanding that God calls us to deny yourself. And I think that that's the hardest part. And that's what's so hard about having faith, is because saying no to the things you like and that you're accustomed, like what you said, it's like once you try something, it's hard for you to break out of those habits. But God calls you to deny yourself and give yourself for a bigger purpose. And I think that once, for example, my experience, the most satisfying moments in my life have been when I have been doing service. And I think that's when it becomes easier. It's when you deny yourself and say, instead of me going out to this party, instead of me doing this thing, let me focus on what I can do to serve others. And then that's when it becomes easier. The longer you stay connected to God, just like God says that we are the branch, and a limb or a branch can't live on its own. You need to be attached to the tree of life, which is God. And once you spend more and more time, you're going to end up seeing that it becomes easier and easier. Maybe like with your friends, there's some, like you'll end up realizing, and that's part of my story too, is me being mediocre for so many years, but it prevented me from me choosing a certain lifestyle with certain people in my life. That prevented me from giving everything to God, and that self-denial. And once you give everything, you come to the realization that, okay, it becomes easier and easier, even though being a Christian is hard. I mean, I don't think that's ever going to get easy.
Mm-hmm.
And what, right when you think you figure something out, Satan's going to come and throw a curveball at you.
Right.
And he's going to be like, okay, you're no longer tempted by this, but guess what? I know you're tempted by this. And now he's just going to just throw it in your life, in your lap. And I think that's the moments where,
mm-hmm.
if you are accustomed to saying, you know what? Like Pablo said, start with God, end with God. That is the key to success.
Right.
Because no matter how good you are and how good you get at you know, having the strong will and saying no to something, dude, eventually you're going to fall. But if you start with God, you end with God, and you try to sprinkle God in between, that's the key
mm-hmm.
to success, I think.
And I think that real change comes with God's help, because I definitely feel like I try to stop drinking. I try to do bad habits on my own without going to church, without being spiritually closer to God. But guess what? It would only last for a month, 2 months, and then I would be back at it even harder. But something that by you giving up what you love, what you like, what tempts you, and you get closer to God, is also freeing, because you're no longer attached to those bad habits. And it's easier to say no. And it might be really hard at the beginning, but the longer you stay closer to God and you spend that time with God, it gets a little bit easier every day, where you're like, I don't need that anymore, it's fine.
And the last question is just what advice would you give to somebody who is maybe considering or thinking about coming back to church or making that first step to come to the church or to Christ? In reality, it's coming to Christ, not
mm-hmm.
the church. That's not who you approach. The church is more of a like a place where you can get closer, but what are some advice that you would give to someone that is maybe thinking about making that return?
I mean, for me, I think one advice is just do it. For me, I think that that's one thing that I struggle with, especially if you get further away from church, get further away from God, you kind of, like Gabe mentioned, you kind of start to think like, I'm not worthy of going back to church, or I don't know how to get back to church, and I don't know how to get back to God. And you're like, and you always repeat that, and I'm like, okay, I don't know how to do it, but I'll figure it out tomorrow. And you kind of procrastinate because you don't know how to take the first step. And the first step is just do it. Start slowly. For me, it was very hard because I was very indifferent. I didn't care about God. I didn't care about religion. And I hated religion for a good part of my life. But I slowly started reading the Bible. I slowly started listening to podcasts. And like, at first it was annoying. I was like, why am I doing this? This is seems pointless. But the more I did it, the easier it got, the more understanding I got. And it just got a little bit better each day, and just trying to be consistent and just take that first step and just stick to it. It kind of helps. Mm-hmm. And just stop thinking so much. Just do it. And hopefully find also like a good church or a good community where you feel happy. That helps as well. Like having a youth group that you're comfortable with, where like I'm very honest with the kids that I teach the class. I don't even treat on my kids, because I'm like, at the end of the day, you're going to have to make decisions. And I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to tell you what are the consequences, because that's something that I didn't have growing up. A lot of church people tell you don't drink, don't smoke, don't go to parties, but they don't tell you why. And they don't tell you their experience. Mm-hmm. So what I try to do is be like, listen, this is what I've experienced, and I would hate for you to see that or experience it yourself. But if you need help, I'm here not to judge you, but to help you, because how can I judge you for your sins, for your mistakes, when I'm a sinner and I need help? So let me be that difference and help people that are experiencing similar things to what I'm experiencing.
Yeah, I would definitely, everything that Pablo said is great. And I think the most important thing you can do is pray. Obviously, like, especially like if you're starting to think about going back into church, you know, pray about it, you know, like, hey, God, like, if this is for me, like, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Like, let me know that, like, what I'm doing is right. And I think what Pablo says is the most important thing is finding, like, someone that's, you know, a little bit older than you, but, like, you can connect to. Like, sometimes, like, all someone needs is just, like, someone to rant to. Like, that was kind of my biggest thing, was that, like, I did not feel comfortable with telling anyone else, like, my experiences. And that person for me was, like, my mom and my dad. Like, you know, like, being open with them about, like, what I did, you know, like, and, like, how, like, my relationship with God, like, could change, you know, like, finding, like, those people that could obviously, like, help you out, like, influence you, like, to do better. Like, that's kind of the most important thing you can do. Like, find an elder, you know, find someone that's, you know, a brother in Christ or something like that, that, like, can help your relationship with God. And honestly, like, I think the last thing is, like, obviously knowing that, like, everyone else is a sinner. You know, no one is good enough for God's grace. And, like, there's a reason why we all go to church. Because we're not good enough. You know, we want to have that one-on-one relationship with Christ. And obviously, like, we want to feel his love. So just know that, like, you're not alone. Like, we're all sinners. And, yeah, that's what I would say.
I thank you both, first of all, because mm-hmm. I think it's tough sharing certain stuff that you shared today. Mm-hmm. And secondly, it's fine. It's everybody has their own journey. Yeah. Everybody has their own path. You need to experience it for yourself, but there's other people around you, like you said. I think you have to find that person that's going to help you, find mm-hmm. that thing that's going to motivate you. And that could either be a person or be a church group. It can be different things. There's different places where you can plug yourself into. then if one doesn't fit, try another place. But the thing is to never give up. And I think that once you make that leap, that's when you're going to feel the most free, because God is going to give you that freedom, that it's going to be freeing you from those chains of sin. Because right. I think the main reason why both of you guys came back is the feeling of being chained to your sins was a little too much to bear.
Right.
And God knows that, and that's why he puts certain limits and why he tells us to do certain things and what we can and cannot do. But at the end of the day, is he wants us to be free and happy. And once we are freed from that, I think that that's the main point. So if there's anybody listening, test God and you will see, and make that choice. And you're going to make sure that you never regret it, because God is a loving God, and he's going to make you have so much of a better life, even if it's not an easy life.
Right.
And I think that that's the main thing that I would say to anybody listening. And with that being said, again, thank you both. Well, you're my co-host, so
yeah.
You're always here.
Yeah, thank you, Paul.
And you're my brother. So
I'm hosting at my house, but...
Exactly, so...
We all host.
Thank you for being with us and obviously sharing that testimony. And obviously, subscribe, you know, like, comment. We would appreciate all the love that we can get.
Yeah, check our website out. We have weekly devotionals. We're having one come out every Friday. We haven't been consistent, but I promise we're going to be starting to be consistent. And we have a lot of stuff going on, so always check us out. I would like to know, we have the segments. Those are also recorded as well. So if you miss one in live and you want to check it out, you can check it out through the website as well. And subscribe. And join us and with everything. And if you're in the Worcester area or Leominster area,
participate
with us. And we're trying to make something really cool for the youth. So, yeah, thank you. And...